Welcome to the Prevail Over Cancer podcast, where we take a metabolic approach to help guide you on preventing, prevailing, and striving over cancer.
We are live. We are live on our episode number 2 with my partner in crime, Keith Bishop, for Prevail Over Cancer podcast. I'm super excited. We are just trying to fill as much information as possible to our audience to help prevent cancer, strive through cancer, and beat cancer. So I'm excited to have somebody with me that has so much knowledge. Today's topic is going to be nuts. We're going to be talking about nuts, the good, the bad, what to look for, which are Keith's favorite and why, and with some research behind it. So how are you, Keith?
I'm doing great. Thank you. And you?
I'm always doing amazing, buddy. I'm always doing amazing. So I'm excited to keep adding on a regular basis. These podcasts are just going to be helping so many millions of people around the world. So let's dive right into it. The first nut that I wanted to dive and talk about is Brazilian nuts. One that since I found out I had colorectal cancer, is one of the first ones I found some research on, and I added it to my diet. And we were talking about this prior. I have 4 Brazilian nuts a day when I break my fast with my vitamins, with my first meal. Let's talk about Brazilian nuts, the science behind it, the studies behind it, what you find are the benefits of it, the good and bad.
Yeah. So Brazil nuts have a lot of selenium in them. And selenium is a mineral, which is a kind of a different type of a mineral. It's more like an antioxidant. And that means it helps repair cells. And in this case, actually cancer, there are some studies showing that selenium, high dose of selenium, getting up to the, what we call, well, we used to call it recommended daily allowance. Each country has a little different term for that, but you know, getting up to like 200 micrograms a day or so, you know, reduces the risk of cancers. And there's only one negative study, and that was actually a combination of selenium with vitamin E and prostate cancer supplements.
Okay.
Was not a good study, but all the other studies show some benefits. And so, you know, one Brazil nut a day provides about, you know, close to that 200 micrograms. And so, you know, I like to often add it in. So that's not the only ingredient, but that one is for some reason like really high in selenium. Our plants actually draw up nutrients from the soil and concentrate it. And in, you know, we could even have like a pecan tree, pecan tree here, you know, and an almond tree growing in the same soil. And they'll concentrate nutrients differently, you know, from the soil, but it does come from the soil. But then just the way God made the plants, they just put things together in different ways. Brazil nuts are a great option. And, but I wouldn't go overboard, you know, with that. So, you know, too much of anything, you know, if we get too much water, we drowned. Okay. And so, you know, too much of any particular thing we want to be cautious about. So I typically go with about like 2 a day. I'll put it into my mix. And so I don't take a multiple vitamin that has selenium in it. So I will use Brazil nuts to help out with that. You know, matter of fact, one of my pet peeves is actually copper, you know, and multiple vitamins. I have a report about that, about vitamins maybe even increasing risk of cancer. We talk about that sometime too. But anyway, copper, you know, in supplements may be an issue, but there's copper in nuts and seeds. That's part of that yellowish color. And so I use my nuts as a source of my copper. And the same thing with, you know, Brazil nuts to get my selenium. So, you know, I don't take a multiple vitamin with minerals.
Interesting. So you're getting them out of your Brazilian nuts. I've always taken, since I did find out, I've had selenium as one of my supplements I've added in, and I do the 200 milligrams plus the Brazilian nuts. So this is something that I'm going to look into, probably reducing the supplement if it's not needed, right? Considering
maybe so. Yeah. Maybe, what can happen on some minerals is that, you know, if we bump up a mineral, it can actually create maybe a deficiency of another mineral. They can kind of compete with each other. Like copper and zinc are along that line.
Yeah.
So, Matter of fact, I've lived in houses that had copper pipes most of my life until 4 years ago, which was like horrible, you know, and because that increases the risk of my concerns about cancer and Alzheimer's. That's my family history. And so I'm so excited to get out of those houses. So, but, you know, so I am taking some extra zinc to help push that copper out of my system. So selenium probably has a similar type thing about competing with another mineral. And then also antioxidants, if we go high dose antioxidants, they become pro-oxidant. They can actually damage cells.
Interesting.
And so, so I don't know. I can't say specifically selenium is going to be an issue about that, but I'll help research that for you.
I appreciate that.
You know, I personally, you know, would, you know, kind of limit, you know, how much selenium. I think balance is very important in, you know, moderation. So too much of anything. Matter of fact, you know, even nuts, we're going to talk about several different nuts, and I don't eat the same nut every day. I mean, you know, I do have a Brazil nut or two a day, but I like to rotate my nuts and to decrease risk of allergies and just to make sure I'm kind of getting a broad range of nutrients because each nut can be different.
Yeah.
And so I'm, you know, doing a variety,
which I think is very important to any type of diet, a variety. Yeah. I mean, obviously just for us not to, to enjoy what we're eating as well. I mean, that's a benefit as well, but exactly what you said for nutritional benefits is just, it's your body doesn't get accustomed to something and doesn't want the need to take it from something else. If it has that mindset, you're going to give it to it every single day, right?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, that's part of the goal in, you know, cancer treatment. You know, and even natural approaches is that we want to do a, we want to hit the cancer cells with something. And if we keep providing them the same thing, let's go back to sugar. If we, you know, keep giving them sugar, an easy thing, that's going to be a problem. Yeah. And so if we can take away nutrients from them, you know, they start struggling and they don't grow right and they have a tendency to kind of decay, and then the immune system can go and get rid of it. So, you know, intermittent fasting and being careful about how much red meat and, you know, and then just everything that we talk about, you know, in this series, you know, we want to just keep doing different things.
Exactly.
So not the same thing, because cancer cells can adapt. So if you go strict keto, you know, cancer cells will adapt and use ketones to grow.
Yeah.
So we've got to have that variety, and that's the purpose of intermittent fasting, is to literally take away everything for a while. So whenever you're hungry and just like starving. And so matter of fact, I like to do a little bit of a beverage to help me with that. And I see you're drinking out of a ceramic cup. Oh, look at that. Okay. Good. And then, you know, that intermittent fasting takes away those nutrients. And then I think nuts is a perfect way to break that fast.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Low carb, lots of fiber. There's all kinds of nutrients. There's, you know, antioxidants and fiber and prebiotics.
Yeah.
There's so many different things that helps out. And so like in your case, you know, for colorectal cancer, that fiber, actually the fibers and prebiotics help the good bacteria to grow.
Yeah.
And that turns off some switches for some genetic tendencies.
Yeah, that exactly.
Sometimes that we have some tendencies for, you know, we turn that off by doing these.
Yeah. Yeah. And I enjoy it because I like breaking my fast with the Brazilian nuts, because I do, like I said, intake my vitamins at that time. And a lot of my vitamins are fat soluble vitamins, which that they're getting that oils and that fat from, from the nuts, which kind of helps your body absorb the vitamins a lot better as well. Let's dive into one nut that has probably, as you were saying to me prior, probably the most research behind it when it comes to fighting and preventing cancer: walnuts.
Yes, walnuts. I don't understand why, but there's a ton of research on walnuts, and maybe because the first few studies that somebody did, the researchers did, they found some good evidence. And so now there's a lot of research on walnuts. And, but once again, each nut is different. So, walnuts, you know, taking the, or consuming walnuts, you know, decreases the risk of several different cancers And then like significant, it's like it's about 20% reduced risk of getting cancers and even dying of cancer, you know, anywhere, actually all nuts are generally like from 11 to 20% reduced risk of dying from cancer if you eat nuts every day. So, which is, that's pretty significant.
Huge numbers, huge numbers.
So if you can do a couple more things that do that too, I mean, it's amazing, you know, type effect. So the walnuts are a little bit different. As a matter of fact, you know, it's kind of like a love hate thing. So the hate part is they don't taste very good. They're kind of bitter and just not enjoyable. So
I enjoy them. I know maybe that bitterness taste or not, but it's, let's talk about that. Because one thing I know you were talking about before, and we'll drive back into walnuts, but the more bitter the nut, potentially the better it is for you.
Maybe so. Yes. And so, you know, when we think about, antioxidants and multiple vitamins and things like that. And so, you know, if you were opening that capsule, they taste bad. If you try to, you know, like powders given to kids, they don't mix and they taste terrible. The kids, you can't get them to take it because some things are just kind of like bitter.
Yeah.
Well, some of that bitterness are actually some chemicals that have significant anti-cancer benefits. So there's kind of a belief that you should be soaking your some people, not everybody.
Yeah.
You should soak your nuts to get the skins off. And the skins actually, they're actually doing specific research on nut skins. And there's actually some bitter components in those skins that have anti-cancer benefits.
Interesting.
And so there's many different chemicals. So, you know, matter of fact, when they do the chromatograph, the gas chromatograph, you know, tests and all those different spikes of chemicals, it's like, you know, there's a dozen different chemicals in these nuts, especially walnuts. So that some of those bitter chemicals are actually significant anti-cancer chemicals. And matter of fact, there's so many chemicals and I'm not an expert in that. And even writing them down, there's no way I can remember them all.
Yeah.
And I do have a pod and a blog that I wrote, and it's going to be posted. That's going to have a little bit more information about that.
We'll put the link of that on our podcast as well. So when you're talking about that, let's talk about that quickly. When he's talking about soaking them, okay. I never heard that before. And, and it's one thing I've actually asked you in the past, because I did pretty, I think I saw it on a post or a blog by another cancer expert talking about refrigerating your nuts to preserve the oils inside them to have that cancer fighting benefit. Because if they're put in a cupboard and if at room temperature, if it starts warming up in your house, those oils could warm up. I don't know how much, but it kills a lot of the benefits inside them. Have you done any research or heard anything about that?
I have not, but it does make sense. But it does make sense. So, you know, it is a food.
Yeah.
And it's like any food in storage, it will go bad with time. So it's just going to be naturally decaying. There's no preservatives. You know, unless you're getting pasteurized nuts, which I don't recommend, that's a heat process. And we want to stay away from that.
Yeah.
You know, and actually, you know, there are some heat processes that, you know, do decrease these antioxidants and phenolytic chemicals. So roasting is one of those. And so roasting may actually help with shelf life, but that roasting process usually decreases the active ingredient. So actually refrigeration or, you know, probably would be a great idea because we don't know for sure how old nuts are, you know.
When we actually do buy them off the shelf. Exactly.
We really know. And so, you know, I often get bulk and, you know, and at the health food store and there's a scoop and a big container and they're organic and we really don't know much. So it does make sense, you know, refrigeration would be good. I will check that. I'll add that to the blog post. And because I think it's an important thing, you know, and because I do buy so many nuts and, you know, I have bags and bags and bags.
I buy them at Costco. I buy the organic ones and they're these massive bags.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And they'll last me a few months, right?
Exactly. So we do need to be careful. And definitely heat can be a concern. So refrigeration, you know, would be probably beneficial. I'll add that to the blog. And then about the soaking, you know, I'm not sure, but I think the soaking, what they're trying to do is kind of like beans. If you soak beans, you can get rid of the lectins.
Yes.
And that's, I think that's what they're, you know, trying to do. But I challenged the concern about lectins.
Yeah.
And lectins are, don't damage the gut, you know, and create leaky gut for everybody. Matter of fact, it's actually very rare.
It is very rare. And I think a lot of people are on an agenda, especially individuals pushing carnivore diets and stuff like that, are on an agenda to almost fear, put that fear factor, fear tactic in people with that. So, I mean, that's one thing that we could talk about on another podcast. But yeah, it's so walnuts are one of your favorite choices when it comes to nuts. Definitely. Family.
Definitely. Yes.
Okay, the next one we're going to jump into, and then I want to talk about, we're going to talk about the oils and the fried and additives to, we'll talk about at the end, additives to nuts and what to look for and what to avoid, because there is, people could be going to the store and buying bags of nuts and eating them and think there's benefits to them, and all these added oils and seed oils and vegetables added to them could actually be a concern. So we'll talk about that at the end. Let's talk about pistachios.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Interesting one. One that I originally, even years ago, would take, I would have a little handful at night to actually help me sleep, because they are, yes. They are, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but they are high in melatonin, which is, will help me sleep. So I would always have maybe 5, 6, 7 at night, just chew on, give me that little craving if I was craving something at night. And then it would be a benefit to help me sleep. So let's talk about pistachios and the benefits and any research or anything behind what you see could help prevent or fight cancer.
And pistachios have a little bit of research. There's not a lot. And so they number one, they are beneficial. Yes. The same kind of thing, you know, they've got all types of antioxidants and minerals and fiber for the good bacteria in the gut. Matter of fact, it's not just colorectal cancer, you know, for this prebiotic and bacteria, microbiome, all the, the form for the gut, because actually that's where our immune system is. And when we support our immune system, that helps to fight cancer.
Yeah.
And so having a weak immune system is a risk factor for cancer. And so I see that time and time again. My wife has that kind of an issue. So she is at a high risk of cancer because part of her immune system doesn't work. And so she has a hematologist oncologist that she sees every month for an exam, you know, kind of checking for lymphoma and things like that, and to get a treatment. So, so the gut biome is very important with pistachios. And my concern is going to be most of the time they're salted.
Yeah. And that's where you get the flavor. And you want to put those, you want to put the shell in your mouth and suck on the salt. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, and you know, sometimes for some of us, you know, that are running businesses and managing things, you know, a lot of times we're under a lot of stress, and you know, sometimes I just crave that salt.
Yeah.
So there's a reason. Actually, the salt helps our adrenal glands to work better. And when we're under stress, the adrenal glands and the kidneys can actually lose that sodium in the urine. And so we sometimes, I mean, sometimes I just crave that salt. I just have to have it. And so, yes, I have some pistachios. And so I don't eat them every day. The concern is that high salt intake.
Of course.
That salt can actually damage the mouth a little bit, but especially the esophagus.
Yes.
And in the stomach. So esophageal cancer and stomach cancer, you know, might be at a higher risk with like daily pistachios. So,
but you could buy salt-free pistachios.
Exactly.
What I realized too is, and I was thinking about what you were talking about before, pistachios in general, they are a bitter nut. Mm-hmm. So if you're having them that's unsalted and you're just popping the shell and eating them, they don't have the greatest flavor. So I would assume that the benefits are also there as well in that category.
Yes, exactly. But it hasn't been studied.
Okay.
As, you know, so that's the downside. So, you know, I can go into the medical journals and type in cancer and pistachios, and, you know, there's maybe 20 studies, you know, mentioning pistachios. And most of the time, most of the nut studies are actually, it's a combination, and they just say, you know, they're looking at asking people, how many nuts did you eat, you know, a day? And then they'll ask how, you know, what type, but usually they're not really dividing like, well, this pistachio, you know, gave better results than almonds, or almonds were better than pistachios. We don't see that information.
They're categorizing,
combining it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Combining it as tree nuts. Okay. Is usually what they're doing in that. So most studies are like at least three different nuts combined. They do take ingredients from these nuts that we talked about, like these bitter ingredients, and the scientists divide and separate those chemicals out, put them into test tubes with cancer cells and see what kind of effect they've got. And so they're actually looking for new chemotherapy drugs.
Interesting.
So there definitely is research going on, and there's more test tube, cancer cell test tube studies than there's really no human studies except for like following diets.
Yeah.
There are a couple of animal studies, but not many for nuts. So, but pistachios are kind of like lacking the research, but I think they're great, preferably not salted.
Perfect. Perfect. The last nut we're going to talk about, then we're going to talk about the additives and stuff like that. It's almonds. Almonds. Mm-hmm. And what is interesting about those almonds is on the market, I've always been the type where I actually enjoy the raw almond.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the ones that are on the market when you go to a store are usually flavored. They're roasted. There's other additives to them. They're almonds, either chocolate and covered in chocolate.
Oh, or, wow.
There's so many different variations of them. Let's talk about that. And let's talk about the benefits of the raw one and when there is additives, what to look for. And that would be a good segue into the additives and oils added into almonds.
Yeah. So the almonds are great. And they're actually probably almonds are like second in right behind walnuts in the amount of research showing that they reduce, you know, the risk of cancer. And they're actually a little bitter. I mean, not bad, you know, in my mind, but.
Oh, I enjoy them.
Matter of fact, you know, those of us that like coffee, which is bitter, you know, will, you know, have a tendency to like nuts better than people that don't like coffee. So matter of fact, coffee is a bean.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's, you know, it's related to these things too. So, but almonds do have a bitter property. The skins, more specifically, I did some research the other night about this. They're actually researching the skins and have some anti-cancer properties. Because I made a post on social media and somebody said, oh, no, you need to soak the skins off. Is it? Well, maybe not, you know, and it's, you know, the whole nut is going to be important. And so the matter of fact, you know, one thing advantage about almonds is that there's a lot of protein in them.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much.
A great way to, you know, kind of break a fast, to decrease meat, you know, red meat intake. And so it's one of my faves. And so I will, you know, it's kind of like, you know, walnuts and almonds are my favorites as far as the amount of research, you know, and ones I try to consume on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's another one that I'll mention real quick. And so my Okie accent is pecans or pecans, you know, but, you know, they're actually kind of like a low protein. So they're not as kind of like as much on my list. Macadamia nuts are a little bit lower protein too.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more fatty, but they actually taste really good.
Pecans do have a good flavor, right?
Yeah, they do. But they're lacking that bitterness. And the research is not really supporting them as much, you know, for cancer. Matter of fact, which is really surprising in North America, you know, we have pecan trees here all over the place. It survives our weather here. And I mean, a lot of them, there's just no research because the initial research is just not finding great benefits. Not saying you shouldn't do them. I will add them into my mix, but it's not, you know, a high level. Same thing with macadamia nuts, and they're a little bit lighter in color, so they may not have as many beneficial nutrients in them. And they're a little more fatty, and not fats aren't necessarily bad, but they may have a tendency to spoil a little bit easier and faster type of thing. So
pecans were one of the nuts I introduced automatically into my diet. And that was, and I can't remember the book. I think the first book I did read was Metabolic the metabolic effect on cancer. And for some reason, my mind's clouding me right now, but there was some research there. They were talking about the benefits for colorectal cancer in pecans, and there was a direct link. And I could not remember the study I did read or something I did read. And I did add them in. I don't have them on a daily basis. I would have them maybe twice a week, add it to my nuts. And I do like the flavor. In Canada, we have pecan tarts. I don't know if you guys have them. It's like butter tarts, but they add pecans in them. So as a kid growing up, that flavor, okay, it reminds me of the tarts. So to me, it's almost like having a pecan is almost like having a sweet. So it gives me that sweet flavor that to me, it triggers that dopamine in my mind or something like, hey, this is good for me. This is tasting good. So I do like having them maybe 2-3 times a week, and I'll add them to my nuts.
Right. Oh, yeah. And they're great. And the fiber is great. Yeah. The fiber, once again, supports our gut health, our microbiome. So, you know, any of them are great for that.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we're the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Let's talk about the additives, the oils, the flavors. There's so many things that, I mean, when you're getting something that's healthy, and then you automatically associate like an almonds being healthy. So I'm going to grab a bag of almonds, but you're not reading the labels. It's not raw. Right. So all of a sudden it's got different oils, it's got seed oils, it's got vegetable oils added to it, it's got certain flavors that are artificially added to them.
Right.
Let's break that down and talk about that and things for people to look for or to be aware of when they are at the grocery store or the bulk food store buying nuts and thinking they're doing something healthy for themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one of the main things I work with my clients and social media posts is you got to read that label, that ingredients label.
Yeah.
You know, got to look at that. And you know, and for nuts, if they've added seed oils like, you know, peanut oil or sunflower oil or, you know, and we think, oh, that's just more nuts, you know, and even peanuts are okay. They're not really a nut, they're legume, but peanuts are good too. But when they add oils, typically that means that they're roasting at a very high temperature or frying them, you know, at a high temperature and maybe reusing those oils, but those oils have a tendency to go bad with that heat. Matter of fact, there's actually some interesting studies that people that work at nut roasting facilities have a higher risk of cancer because they're breathing in those fumes, you know, from those oils. And the kind of when they roast the nuts, it makes them more crunchy. And so a lot of times we associate that and like that. And then the oils allow the flavorings and the salt and other things to adhere to it. So when we get the, my son loves the, I can't remember, it's a spicy almond, you know, type of thing.
Yeah. Or they have like the barbecue peanuts and stuff like that. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, but they've added a lot of other things to that. And so that's where that's more like a manufactured food, which is not.
So you would classify that in almost like the processed food category.
Exactly. You know, and so that's where we're looking at those labels, you know, on that. So if they're adding salt, you know, or oils, any type of an oil to it, I just don't do it.
Yeah. And I 1000% agree with you. Those are things you want to stay away. And it's also for the healthy gut aspect as well, right? The healthier your gut is, the better your body's immune system is, the better your body has an opportunity to fight off and beat those cancerous cells that are trying to go rogue in your body, right? So if your body is so concerned about focusing on rebuilding your gut health because your body is not, you're not doing the right things to it, it's going to give that opportunity for those cells to go rogue because there's no one watching over them in a way. The simplest way to break it down. So end of the day, actually, I want to talk about one more topic.
Okay.
Organic, when it comes to nuts, organic or non-organic, is there much studies between them? Is there a difference? You're going to obviously push to organic. It might not be, when it comes to nuts, it's not easy to find organic nuts unless Correct. You have a certain location or a bulk barn. I've found that in Costco, in Canada anyhow, Brazilian nuts, almonds, there's a few walnuts you don't find organic there. Pecans, right. You don't find organic, but they do have organic almonds and they do have organic Brazilian nuts. So I obviously make sure I buy those. But even the local bulk barn, which we have, which is a shop here that sells everything in bulk, you go there, exactly, you say, with your scoop, they don't have organic when it comes to nuts there. So right. What is your mindset with organic and non-organic when it comes to nuts? Because most nuts do have a shell. Is there a benefit or is there any need for that?
I do prefer organic when possible, and to limit just those pesticides and those, you know, are just bad for us anyway. There's actually, I don't remember seeing a single study looking at organic versus not organic nuts.
Okay.
So actually these studies are just on just general population and sources of nuts. So
which I would assume is non-organic.
Probably not. You know, matter of fact, you know, some people say, oh, it's so worse in this country. You know, they use more chemicals here than they do here. And, you know, they use a lot of chemicals everywhere. You know, now Europe does have a tendency to do better about that. Canada may also, about how many chemicals are allowed to be used and certain types, you know, more government intervention, you know, in that. So that, along that line too, I think one thing we need to do is that we do need to support and purchase organic whatever, whenever we can, to help that market to grow, you know, to help those farmers and or businesses to realize that there is a market for this. You know, they have to make money, they have to sell. We need to support that, and so that other businesses. So we can't always and shouldn't rely on the government to protect us. You know, we can drive the market. We have to be smart. We have to be thinking, reading the labels, making the right purchases, and we can drive market, you know, to.
Yeah. That's another topic for another day. I mean, the issue is the cost. I'm assuming in the U.S. is the exact same thing. The cost of food seems to go up every single week. Yeah, I'll look at my wife and she does all our groceries online. And just certain things, she'll go to the grocery store to buy fresh, but most of the stuff she'll order online, it gets delivered, and she'll look at it and be like, that those beans last week were $2.99. This week they're $3.49. Then 2 weeks later they're $4. The price just keeps increasing. So the average family, it's hard to go that organic route. Myself, like on top of our family groceries, I go to a local grocery store and I buy a certain amount of organic every week on top of our normal groceries for myself and my family. And it's like, just the organic is almost double the price of my wife's shopping list. It's very expensive to eat organic. Very, very expensive. So you're hoping that the more people are introduced to it, the more people see the benefit of it, the more people strive towards it, it will decrease the price. You're hoping, because there'll be more volume, more want for it, but it's hard right now. It's hard for the average family. So those are all things that we could talk about in another podcast about how to actually, if you don't buy organic, what measures you should take. And we could talk about that in another podcast to help remove as much of the pesticides as possible on your foods.
Yeah. And yeah, so most things we do want to wash. Now the nuts, you know, are typically more of an internal seed. They're a seed type of a thing. And so they may not have as much on them. But, you know, there's still absorption. There's wash off, you know, that to the ground and coming up in plant. And so actually, you know, for my clients, you know, and I see a wide range of clients, I tell them just do the best that you can. You don't
100%.
Have to go organic. You don't have to go with organic. Matter of fact, most of these studies, you know, are just on traditional foods, not organic. Once again, I do support it, but, you know, but we, you know, just, you got to do the best you can.
100%, 100%.
Yeah. You know, and so, yeah, we can talk about the washing and
yeah, we'll make that another podcast, because I think that is a important topic. And it's one that I truly focus on with all my fruits and vegetables and stuff we get in. Even organic, be honest, I do wash them still. Nuts are not one that I touch, but the other ones I still wash, because we could talk about this. And I think we actually talked about this in our first podcast, is you got an organic farm, you get a non-organic farm next door. Those winds are still blowing over. It's hard to prevent it. It's very, very hard to prevent it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I want to talk about one last thing, and it's something that relates and is essentially it falls in the same category as nuts, is the butters. Almond butter, peanut butter, two things. I've actually reduced peanut butter. I was intaking peanut butter maybe 3-4 times a week. Organic, all natural peanut butter, the ones you got to flip upside down, put in the fridge. So I was doing that. I've actually switched over to an almond butter now.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm.
And the almond butter I buy is actually at Costco. It's organic, and it actually has a certain amount of chia seeds and flaxseed in it, mixed in already with it. So it's a really healthy option. So let's talk about quickly peanut butter, almond butters, what to look for. And we could actually even touch into almond milk, because that was something I was trying to introduce into my diet, but I can't find one that doesn't have a bunch of seed oils in it. So I've actually stopped using them. And I'm be honest, I'm too lazy to make my own. So let's talk about peanut butter, almond butter, and then segue to finish off into almond milk, which I think a lot of people are intaking thinking is healthy. But if you turn around and do what you do, read the labels, most of them on the market are not healthy.
Right. And so, yes, sugar. Matter of fact, I think I had a post about sugar butter, and so peanut butter, most peanut butters, they say peanuts, and then second ingredient is sugar.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. Yeah. And even, it could be natural, but if it still says sugars or anything like that, that is not what you want.
No.
And so the natural peanut butter, like primarily at a health food store, and I know it's more expensive, but it's well worth it.
I would say a lot of grocery stores here do carry it now.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. And so definitely there are. And and usually there's some oils on top, and you have to mix it, and that's perfectly fine. But just no sugars. And that's the main thing to look on that. No sugars, or maybe no added oils.
Now, It should say just peanuts.
Exactly.
That's now, it.
If you add some other seeds, that could be okay. And I haven't seen that version, but yes, I like the idea of, almond butter is my favorite. I have to admit, I do put it in the refrigerator, which makes it hard as a rock.
Do you flip it upside down?
No, I don't. And
try that.
I may try that.
Okay. Flip it upside down.
Okay.
Put it in the refrigerator, and it'll never become hard, and it'll never have oils at the top.
Okay. Yeah, it's just like, oh man, hard as a rock. And
if you flip it upside down, for some reason, the oils mix in better and right to the bottom of the jar. Since I've been flipping upside down, I've never had it harden or have oils at the top.
Well, my wife is, I better tell my wife, because she's going to flip it back up then. What does he do? So about that, I'll try that. Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, 100% it works. 100% it works.
Okay. Yeah. So, great.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm a strong believer in, I do like, I actually just changed it for a while, because I was having peanut butter and the only ingredient in there is peanuts. And another thing is when it comes to the peanut butter, there is ones that use roasted peanuts. And that was one thing we talked about. Avoid that, because it will taste a little better. Avoid that. Just get simple peanuts or the almonds. Yeah. So that it should be the only ingredient, unless it has, like we talked about, chia seeds or other seeds added, anything else.
Right.
But just look for the simpler the ingredients, the better.
Yeah. And before I forget, let's talk about quantity of that. So,
we
have tendency, and so you can get too much, of any food. And so whether it be the peanut butter, we want to be careful about that quantity. So, a tablespoon or so. You know, matter of fact, I love to do actually a nut butter with, you know, whether it be some sweet peppers or celery or maybe some apple slices and kind of a combination and type of thing, and use it almost as a dip type of thing. So I love that. But, you know, it's, we need to be careful about the quantity, you know, of that. So same thing with nuts. So these studies show that even just 1 ounce a day, and, you know, matter of fact, I was looking, you see, you're probably zooming in here. You can't see. I have an old pharmacy scale over here on my desk, but the, you know, just 1 ounce a day, which is 30 grams of nuts a day, can have a very significant impact, you know. And then another study showed that, you know, by doing 2 ounces a day, 60 grams of nuts a day, reduce the risk of reoccurrence and death of breast cancer by over 20%.
Which is astonishing numbers.
Yes, amazing number. And so these are like high grade metastatic, you know, breast cancer issues. And so it just, you know, very important. So, you know, but, and so I typically, you know, I don't weigh, even though I have a scale here, I'm not going to weigh that, you know, everything. So I do kind of, I have a almost a trademark thing, like a palm rule. It's kind of like I grab a handful of nuts, you know, and that's going to be my snack. And then I have to put that bag away. I can eat a lot more nuts than that real quick.
Yeah, easily.
And it's typically I'm doing my emails at work and there's an almond, and there's another almond. And like within a couple of minutes, I've gone through more than probably a couple of ounces. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful quantity. Same thing with peanut butter. We have to be careful about how much and or what's added to it, what we add to it. And so, you know, if we're making a peanut butter, you know, natural peanut butter, organic peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Yeah, it defeats the purpose.
Exactly. So, you know, so how do you do your peanut? But
right now, like I said, I stopped peanut butter. I've moved on to almond butter that has the chia seed. And I actually, because I'm so lean right now. I have no fat on me, so I'm trying to actually slowly, progressively gain some weight back. Because through the whole cancer, my diet drastically changed. So I went from 194 pounds to like 170, and that wasn't due to the cancer. That was due to lifestyle. I started fasting 18 hours a day. I started sauna, going into the sauna 5 days a week for 20, 25 minutes at 190. I started keto Mediterranean diet. I eliminated all processed food. I haven't had one cheat day in over 10 months. So no processed food, absolutely no sugar. So when you do this drastic changes, your body just and work out more than I've ever have. Mm-hmm. I'm in probably the best shape of my life, but I do want to gain a little bit of the weight back. So I've introduced a few months back, having not every day, but having sourdough bread, organic, and I have it with almond butter. And I make almost like an almond butter, like a kind of a peanut butter sandwich, but it's just almond butter in a sandwich with sourdough bread. And that is my kind of go-to. And I've got to the point where it's almost like a treat to me. And most people are like, that doesn't sound like a treat. And it's not the greatest tasting, but when you get into it, to me, it's almost like a sweet thing for me. So I have my almond butter sandwich with my sourdough bread. And that is just to add some extra calories, and it's part of my Mediterranean side of the diet, right?
Right. Yes. And that's where, you know, you have to be careful about, you know, like too much, you know, of anything, you know, too much bread. I'm saying no bread at all, but too much. And matter of fact, we don't have to be perfect all the time.
Yeah. 100%.
Even though you're not doing a cheat day. Okay. And so, you know, I'm doing better about that myself. I'm trying to do better, you know, but it's difficult, you know, but I do allow myself to have, you know, some chips occasionally, but I'm more careful about the quantity of those tortilla chips.
Yeah. And there's so many good options, even when you talk about that. I mean, the organic and there's a lot of natural flavors and natural stuff put in them, right? So yeah, I missed on a, and maybe as my journey goes on and when I reach the 1 year mark, and I might slowly introduce other things back into it, but right now I'm just ultra focused. I'm like, we're about to hit the 6 month mark after surgery. November will be the 1 year mark that I found out I had cancer. So right now we're getting into that that point where it's like, I've done all this. I've maximized everything I think I could do. Right. So we'll see how the journey goes, but I don't crave it. I guess your body is so incredible and your mind is so incredible when you restrict yourself from something and you start adding other things that are beneficial to, and your body starts feeling better and stronger. Your mind starts pushing away from those negative things and those bad things for you. And you look at them and you don't crave them. I could see somebody next to somebody having yesterday. Perfect example. My son's baseball game. We talked about this at the end of the game. A parent came by and had everybody donuts, and all the coaches and the kids are grabbing 2-3 donuts each. And she's like, "You're gonna have any, Coach Jeff?" And I was there and I was helping out. And it's like, "No, I'm okay." And it's like, I don't even think about it. And they're all looking at me like, "You're sure?" I'm like, "No, I'm good." And it's like, I don't even think about it. It's not even a craving to me at all. Right. So it's understanding when you do have a craving, what, like I said, pecans, or I'll have my almond, but understanding the healthy things that you could add in that'll eliminate that craving. Right. And that, yes. And that 1 or 2 seconds of like, "Hey, like I need something." And that goes with intermittent fasting, having your black coffee. And the benefits of having a black coffee when it comes to colorectal cancer. So I'm like, I'm enjoying this coffee. I'm seeing the benefits from it.
Right.
I'm good. And and learning how to understand that. Right. So
yes,
this has been another incredible podcast. We went over, just to get through it, we went over walnuts, Brazilian nuts, pistachios. We talked about pecans. We talked about almonds. We talked about butters. We talked about the dark nuts. We talked about bitter nuts.
Right.
Ton of information. So I, once again, our audience is going to get so much out of it. I'm going to put the link to your blog. And if you could add into the refrigerated aspect, I think that'll be really beneficial.
I'll research that tonight.
Perfect. And I'll put all the links. And yeah, this has been amazing. I can't wait to our next one, because they're just going to get better and better and better. So I appreciate you so much, Keith.
Yeah. Well, and thank you, Jeff. And thank you for sharing, you know, your story and your life, and you're having such a great impact on thousands of people, you know, and as we're sharing, you know, how we can make these little changes to reduce our risk of cancer, you know, and or reoccurrence or whatever. So, you know, I appreciate you so much for what you're doing.
I appreciate that too. I appreciate you saying that. And it's, and when it comes to the prevention aspect of it, which I think is what we need to push. If you prevent it, you don't have to worry about it. It all starts with home, and it makes those choices that parents are making on their children, because kids are going to eat whatever their parents put in front of them. So if the parents are putting shit in front of their kids and crap and sugars, kids are going to eat them, and they're going to build those tastes and those, as we talked about, just those flavor will be built into their mouth where they're going to be craving those things. And it'll be a lifelong journey of fighting that off. So parents, be aware of what you're putting into your kids and what you're feeding them from a young age to build those long-term habits of health and prevention, right?
Right, exactly. So it's part of it is we just don't know, and parents don't know. So that's what's so nice about this podcast, is that we're sharing that information, and people go, "Wow, I didn't know that." Exactly. Share that information.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be with, you know, friends, with your, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, you know, family members, your children, you know, share that information and say, "Yeah, hey, I heard something." We got to share that information so we can have an impact on people.
Exactly. This is awesome, brother. I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.